Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
What is up, everybody? It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined, of course, as always on this fine Kayfabe Tuesday, pulling one out of the old bag of tricks, the old Kayfabe Tuesday reference, welcoming you into another edition of Hockey Talk. Hockey Talk is, of course, a part of the ChairShot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And Dave, as we record here on Kayfabe Tuesday, also known as Sunday the 10th, I'm actually a little distracted by other things.
Because the nation didn't use their head on...
No. We're not going to be political today. Brazil is distracting.
Brazil?
Because D23 in Brazil is going on right now this weekend. And good Lord... Now, it's not quite the event that D23 that we just had in California was probably like the most consequential D23 that I can remember in the last half decade. Yeah. Like just the sheer volume of announcements and things like this D23 Expo in Brazil seems to be much more entertainment focused. So I'm sure that Bandwagon Nerds gave some awesome insight about it. So I'm glad y'all listened to that while you're back here. But like shit's going on right now. Like there's panels happening on my feed. And I'm like, well, I want to know what's going to happen with the next Percy Jackson in the Olympian season. Oh, who's this that got cast? Because today it's like FX sort of stuff. Yesterday was a Marvel day. It was a big Marvel news day in D23 Brazil.
Can we pull back the
kayfabe? That was a little more distracting. Sure. Pull back.
None of that stuff's on the rundown, oh fearless leader. Are you amending the rundown?
That's because it happened after I made the rundown.
I know. I'm like,
and if you noticed in the chat, I said we're going to cover these two things. Right. Like, it wasn't a ton of new stuff. Like, it was, but there were a couple of trailers that dropped.
Yeah, I mean,
that we got a couple of looks at things. I don't like you've already watched or you've already listened to Bandwagon Nerd at this point, but. I almost shared a video. There was a nice 15-minute video that was kind of a breakdown of that Marvel panel that was out there. It, they did do some talk about the Fantastic Four. They talked, you know, some Disney Plus series. I think the biggest thing that I noticed, and I may have this flipped. I can't remember which way Feige said the quote was, but that they're going to a, I think it's a 2-movie, 3-series schedule for the future with Marvel. So with the MCU. So like kind of putting some structure in place, some regrouping. There was some news about the X-Men. We talked about it on Bandwagoners. I'm sure it's a redux. But basically, we'll spoil it here again anyway. If you didn't listen to Bandwagoners 1, go back and listen to Bandwagoners. Great show. It's going to be a shorter show. I can already tell you, because the show that we're covering is not going to be one that I think will ever require us to cover for 30 minutes. Like, there's just not the, it's not the same kind of breakdown. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot different. And next week, Dave, it'll be our, I won't be there actually. Damn no? it, I'll still be in Phoenix.
Oh, I'll be in Phoenix. Be in Phoenix.
I'm visiting Greg DeMarco.
The boss
come Wednesday. I'm going to go see and possibly meet Nick Nemeth. You know, might do the meet and greet. I don't know. I don't know if I have the cash monies to do it, but you know, I'm going to be there visiting my boy.
You're going to leave me with these fools to talk about Edmonton, Philadelphia from 87.
I know. I was sitting there. I was laughing. I was like, man, if episode two isn't just the worst time for me to not be there. So for folks who don't follow Bandwagon Nerds, because it's not your shtick, maybe you're just a sports person, we're covering a series on Amazon titled Game 7. And it is a five-episode mini-series covering five very famous Game 7. And yesterday we covered episode one, which was the 2003 ALCS Game 7 between the Yankees and the Red Sox, where, you know, Grady Little infamously does not pull Pedro Martinez when he's laboring, causing the Yankees to take advantage and resulting in Aaron Boone's walk-off home run in the 11th off of Tim Wakefield, which, you know, we'll have talked about it by the time we get here. I'm actually excited to talk about it as someone who I remember where I was for that ALCS and that World Series. So it was really, really good stuff.
They played the Marlins and lost.
They did, and the Marlins won. Yeah. Yep. And I remember that because that was one of the two times where the Marlins won the World Series and then, like, immediately sold the whole fucking deal. Like, they're just like, we're done.
Right. And I mean, it's appropriate to talk about it here as well, because this is a sports-based pod. But that's the one, the 2003 is where Bartman screwed over the Cubs, right? And turned that series
he
didn't, around.
Though. I know he did. I thought about this with the, it's great that you brought up Bartman, because the ESPN 30 for 30 about trying to find Steve Bartman is really, really good. And if you are a Cub fan or just a fan of sports, that was one of my favorite 30 for 30s ever, because that guy has never left his exile. Like, he's self-imposed it. Chicago has, Cubs franchise have tried to bring him back. Now that they've won a World Series in particular, like, they've tried to bring him back, and he's not interested because of the hurt that was caused, because people are stupid about sports. And my thing about that whole incident, and it's very much the same thing with Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge makes this error, right, in this year's World Series that, you know, led to the Dodgers, like, was part of the Dodgers getting a big inning and sealing the World Series for Los Angeles. Aaron Judge is the only guy getting blamed, or was in the initial backlash, was like the guy getting the heat. Never mind that Gerrit Cole didn't fundamentally cover first base. Yep. Now, I will also argue that I think Mookie Betts beats Gerrit Cole to first base.
Sure.
But you gotta try, man. Right. He just quit.
Yeah. It is similar to me, right? And I've said this for years, that if I ever saw Jeffrey Marr out in public, I would punch him in the face. I don't care how old I am, the position I am, however old he is, or what, he could be with his kids. And, you know, I would still probably slug him. Now, you know, that's not fair, because, yeah, that play turned game one around of the, what was it, the 96 ALCS? Or I don't remember. It's the Yankees and Orioles. But see, in reality, it's similar to Bartman, right? That was game one. The Orioles won game two and then proceeded to lose the next three at home. So it really has nothing to do with the outcome of it. But in my head.
And that was the thing, is so many people forget that. So Bartman does the thing with the foul ball. And the reason people remember it is because Moises Alou throws a hissy fit, stomps and rah, 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 rah. Even though Bartman did what every fan in America at a baseball game has ever done when there's a ball close to him. However, after that happened, Alex Gonzalez boots a routine grounder to shortstop that would have resulted in, it probably results in a double play. And instead, opens the door for the Cubs to give up eight runs. Mark Pryor, who on the next pitch, right after after the Bartman incident, uncorks a wild pitch that walked the batter and allowed Juan Pierre to get to third base. Like, there was so much. There's always so much more to sports, and that's the thing that I.
That was game six, right? That wasn't even game seven. I don't
remember what game it was. I just know that it led to eight runs in the end of the series for the Cubs. That marked the end. I think it was game six because I think they got just brutalized in game seven, if I remember. Like it was a beatdown of epic proportions. And I'm actually really excited for the Amazon game seven story about the Cubs in the at the time the Indians.
Well, like
because both of those teams were fighting history in game seven.
And like
and you know, David Ross and all that stuff. They're gonna talk about the Bartman history. Sure. They're going to.
Oh yeah. And like we've said, I think when we first saw the trailer for this, it's clear that this is not going to be a one season thing because they've got clips from, you know, Cleveland Golden State, the you know, Cavs and the Warriors, which is epic. They've got some clips from some other notable game sevens that are on there. I mean, you could make a list of the greatest game sevens of all time and just, yeah, I mean, they're so I think they've got a couple of seasons worth of things they're going to cover, but
yeah, there's so much there's so many game sevens out there. And, you know, we watched the trailer for this and, you know, we did a once around about like, what's your favorite game seven of all time? Yeah. And mine's the most anticlimactic game seven ever. Cause it's the game seven between the Cardinals and the Rangers after what I would argue is the most epic game six you'll ever see in Major League Baseball, down to your last strike in consecutive innings to then game tying triple single and then a walk off home run by David Fries to win game six. And when that happened, I was like, we're winning the World Series. Mm-hmm. Like that was that. Like you knew it. And the Rangers knew it too.
But getting back to the hockey thing, you are going to be there for game seven between the Rangers and the Canucks.
Which I remember that one much more vividly because that was in the 90s. That was 94.
And New York City, the most nervous city in the world for that game.
Right. It's going to be crazy. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure if you're a sports fan, give it a listen because, you know, with this crew on Bandwagon Nerds, while we talk pop culture stuff, we are all very strong sports fans. And you know, whether it's Tunney and his Wisconsin love, you know, all things Packers, Badgers, Bucks, all that, to the Bucks, to me with my weird middle of Illinois. So I have like divided fan loyalties because I'm a Cardinal fan and I'm a Blues fan, but I'm also a Bears fan. And I used, when I followed professional basketball, I was a Bulls fan, but I am much stronger of a college basketball fan and loving the start of the college basketball season already. Thrilled that started this past week. And to Dave and his Washington, you know, his Caps, his Commanders, first place Commanders, taking on the Steelers today, man. That's going to be fun. I'm actually recording a Chicago Bears game because they're playing the Patriots. So they're on local television.
Nice. You guys should win that one. Famous last word.
Just don't talk to me about the game because the Bears are trash. Let's talk about hockey. And Dave, I just want to, we're not going to go. I got some stories I want to cover after the commercial break, like some specific stories that I think are going to be fun to talk. One is about your boy, Alex Ovechkin. No, we talked about Ovi last week. We are going to talk about Ovi right now. I joked last week when we were looking at the schedule that was, and you know, in first place was fun while it lasted for y'all. The New Jersey Devils have had something to say about that. The Carolina Hurricanes have had something to say about that, as the both teams have gone on a little bit of a run. You know, you're all even in terms of wins, but you're behind by 2 points to the New Jersey Devils as of the recording here in the Metropolitan. But I told you that you would get to enjoy a victory against my St. Louis Blues when they met up on Saturday. And Dave, I was right. And we helped your boy Ovechkin continue his march to Gretzky to where, I got to say it now. This is the Washington team that we can expect for the entire season. And I think there's an argument to put them as the most improved franchise. They're definitely the most improved franchise, in my opinion, coming out the gates, or at least up there in the conversation. But if this is the Washington Capitals team that is going to be playing for the next year and a half, Alex Ovechkin, I am willing to say, has a much better chance than I initially thought of catching and passing Gretzky.
Oh, I'll take
it
a step further.
Because he's getting opportunities at the net that he didn't have last year or the year before.
He is on pace now for a 50 goal season at the age of 39, which is ridiculous. But if he does that, he breaks the record this year. I mean, I know we were all looking at next year when he's going to be 40, but at the pace he's going, he might, I don't know, Kucherov's probably still leading the league in goals, but he's at double digits in goals already. And I mean, that's astonishing. But like you're saying, that team is generating a lot of offensive opportunities, you know, where there wasn't any. The Caps power play is still terrible, but they did come through a couple times yesterday. But yeah, I watched some of the game and it just like, it was close for like, for a period. It was like
it was 1-1 for about a period and a half.
And then Binnington let in some softies, I thought, and
Binnington. Okay, so there were a couple of things that happened here with Jordan Binnington. One, it wasn't just on Binnington. Like the Blues were outskated. They weren't fast. They were slow. And that got exploited by the Caps left and right. And that's how you give up 5 goals. You give up a couple soft goals and you get caught out of position left and right because you can't keep up. That's tough. So it is what it is. But you know, looking at the rest of the league, you know, as we kind of pay through there, Winnipeg just keeps on going. They are now 14-1.
Yeah.
And in college, I listened to the Cover 3 podcast on CBS, College Football Podcast. And one of their guys on there is a guy named Tom Fornelli. And Tom Fornelli describes teams that are just kind of boat racing and steamrolling everyone. He calls them a wagon. And so, for example, the University of Indiana he's been calling them a wagon just because of the way they've been building. The Winnipeg Jets are a fucking wagon. Like, it doesn't matter who they play right now. 36 goal differential, plus 36 goal differential. That is far and away the best in hockey.
Yeah.
Far and away the best in hockey. Like they're killing people.
Yeah, they
and they're not getting. They're over twice as many goals for versus goals against. Like 67-31. Like that's a wagon. That's why I don't want any part of Winnipeg right now.
Get on the bandwagon, absolutely, because they are tearing it up. I mean, yeah, I think, okay, they beat the Stars last night, 4-1. Did you hear the fans in Winnipeg, the chant they were doing to directed towards Ottinger? They were chanting USA backup, you know, because he backed up Hallerbuck in the games or something. But yeah, I mean, you're looking at the Jets, they handle the Dallas Stars pretty easily. It just, they are on fire. And I mean, 14-1, no overtime losses. Just like it's ridiculous.
Yeah, they eliminate the overtime problem by just never going to overtime.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, it's so impressive.
Beat Colorado 1-0. So they're winning. They're winning the higher scoring games. They're winning the close games. They are
playing all around great hockey right now. And they're, you know, I talked about your Caps. You can't argue against Winnipeg as another most improved team, because even from whatever they did last year, this start, like, I don't know how historic it is, but it's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah. I mean, they're a team I don't want to play either. If I'm anybody in the league, I don't want to play.
Right. Nobody wants to touch him. Right now.
But geez. Yeah. That's Hallerbuck. And I mean, you're talking back-to-back shutouts. He's given up one goal in the last three games. Assuming he's been playing the whole time and not just his backup, but yeah, that's insane. One goal, three games. Nobody's coming anywhere near them right now. You got to look at the Jets and saying, if they can keep this up, man, they're going to be awfully tough to stop. But yeah, I mean, the funny thing is Minnesota is not much as good as Winnipeg is. The Wild are 10-2-2. So they're off to you want to talk about improved teams. That might be another dark horse.
Yeah, they're 10-2-2. I am interested though. Let's see who they play.
Plus 15 like, goal difference.
Solid.
Yeah, I mean, Colorado's still kind of screwing around a little bit. You know, I watched the
Cap. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just looking at their last couple of weeks. You know, you're talking about Minnesota. They did beat. They're on a nice little run. They've won 4 out of their last 5. They beat Tampa. They beat Toronto. Lost to the Kings,
who are in first place in the Pacific all of a sudden.
Right. you know, and then they played San Jose and the Ducks. You know, they're playing there. They're playing the Blackhawks this evening.
Yeah,
I was so they're solid. They get a win on the 19th against my Blues.
Remember last week we were talking about the Bruins and how this might not be their year. Now they're of course in third place ahead of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, but they did get beat pretty good yesterday.
Yeah, true.
I would say it was non-competitive, but I think they lost like 3 or 4 to 1, something like that.
Like the Caps week last week was up and down. You know, there's the landmark wins against, you know, they eked one out against Nashville. They, you know, of course they had the game against the Blues, but then they really kind of blew
32 for Boston.
They kind of blew it against Carolina and had the fewest shots of the year. And then they laid a real clunker Friday night against the hated Pittsburgh Penguins. And it's like, how do you lose to the Pens and then go and drop 8 on St. Louis?
That's me watching kids, just to give you an idea of how down I am on the Blues. Let me read to you a conversation I had with one Mr. David Ungar prior to this conversation. Select a message. All right. So the conversation, it was a back and forth. This is a play in 5 lines. Patrick, told you the Caps would smoke my Blues. David, Bennington let in some softies. Patrick, in all caps, because my Blues are trash. David, they had a lot of shots at least. Patrick, but didn't score because my Blues are trash. The Blues are trash. And give me the Blues. And not in that cool buddy guy sort of way.
It's not good. I'll put it that. What I saw from them last night was like, yeah, there's some issues there with these guys.
There's a lot of issues with these guys. And I'm so mad about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And we're going to talk about a record set last night in hockey, as well as the Hall of Fame induction coming up tomorrow, Monday. It will have happened on Monday by the time, so the podcast will have dropped by the time it happens. So stick around for that. Comment on Hall of Fame and a record set in the NHL. You're listening to Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of 3 and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus Ground Chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
So, Dave, without cheating, do you know what record was set on Saturday?
I do not.
All right. Well, Tage Thompson did it. Does that give you any clue?
Something. I mean, he's only been in the league for a couple years.
Tage Thompson now holds the record for the hardest hit puck in a game. Would you care to guess how fast that puck went?
Gosh, I'm trying to. Didn't McGinnis used to have the record? I'll say 119.
Okay, that's a little too fast.
Okay.
That's amazing. 104.69 miles per hour against the Detroit Red Wings.
Did he score on it at least?
Beating. No, but the rebound, the ricochet, the rebound off the goalie was strong enough that the putback, it did generate a putback. You should watch the video because you can't see the puck. Like, he hits it so hard, you can't see the puck. He did it against the Detroit Red Wings, 104.69 miles per hour. It surpassed the record set by Utah Hockey Club defenseman. So this just happened this year. Michael Kesselring, who hit 103.77 miles per hour in a 5-1 loss to the Colorado Avalanche. And that record was set this past Thursday. So Wow. Record was set on Thursday. Kesslerling didn't even have long enough to get his name written on the puck and send it to the Hall of Fame before Thompson's like, no. Being a goalie, actually just being a hockey player, it really is a special kind of human, because it's not just that velocity. And to be a goalie, I don't know how you get in front of that. I don't know that you do get in front of that. Half of that's got to be luck. Like, there's just no way you can see that. Like, that's ridiculous. It's like trying to hit 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Like, your reaction time to try and block that is insane. You know, you hear it, like, you've seen hockey arenas, right? And, you know, crowds are loud. The puck hit the pad so hard you could hear it a hit off his pad. Like, just a thump. And my goodness. The previous hardest shot was done back in 2021, 2022, at least from the NHL edge data. And that was by Colin Miller of the Winnipeg Jets at 102.59 against Dallas Stars. So hats off to Tage Thompson. And what would it take for you, Dave, to sacrifice your body in front of a 104.69 mile per hour puck?
A lot of money and a lot of padding.
And well, thankfully, goalies have that.
They have both.
So I'm willing to bet, man, that if you hit that right on the even on those big, you know, shin pads, like, that's gonna leave a mark.
Yeah, you're hoping that it goes off the big, the, you know, 104 miles off the blocker pad is gonna sting. I don't care. So you ain't making a stick save, because if you are, your stick just broke. So and God forbid that hits you anywhere else. So you got to give it up to goalies, man. They are out there facing, you know, I don't know, man, galvanized rubber versus a baseball. Neither one sounds particularly fun to get.
No,
hit with.
I've been hit by many a baseball in my youth back when I played. You know, the joke was, you don't rub it. Don't rub it. Don't let them see that it hurt, but it hurts. So yeah, congratulations to Tage Thompson for having one wicked fast live shot.
Who was the goalie? He was for Detroit.
Yeah, I don't know who the goalie was for Detroit. You know, he got a pad on it though.
He needs to have some props too. I mean, for just standing in there.
Well, for the first one, he still gave up the rebound. Right. So, like, you know, it's not like he glove saved it. You know, do better.
Oh sure, yes. Don't give up those juicy rebounds on the hardest shot ever fired. Oh man.
All right. Well, let's wrap up our show today by talking about the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. The class of 2024 will be getting inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame. I do believe on Monday is when it is. They've had the induction news conference. They've had their ring ceremony on Friday. The Hall of Famers got to do a Q&A session and give, you know, share stories that can be advice for future honorees. The best story probably had to come from Shea Weber, who apparently ignored his, he was on the golf course. And so he ignored the two calls until he got a text message from Kelly Massey saying, "It's the Hall of Fame. Can you call us back?" That's a pretty funny story. This year's induction class, along with Shea Weber, includes Jeremy Roenick, Pavel Datsya. I can't ever pronounce his name.
Datsya.
Natalie Darwitz, Chrissy Wendell Pohl, and builders Colin Campbell and David Pohl. Their weekend started with this. Their induction goes into the hall on Monday, where they'll finally get to do sort of the rest of it. But Roenick talked about it. So the call apparently comes from the Toronto area, and Roenick also thought it was spam. He was like, he didn't even know that it was the time of year when the Hall of Fame selections are announced. So it's funny. Like, it's funny that that's kind of going on. But looking at this class, I'm gonna just – Jeremy Roenick, for so many years as a Chicago Blackhawk, pissed me off as a Blues fan. I mean, how could you – I mean, here's the thing is, he pissed me off, but in a respectful sort of way, because goddamn did I want that guy on my team. Like, him, Chris Chelios, the Blackhawks always seem to have guys that I want. But Chelios, Roenick, Tony Amani – like, it just, like, they kept having guys, and they weren't my guys. And damn it, when I would play NHL 98 back in my day, the first thing I would do is I would completely deconstruct the Chicago Blackhawks, make unbalanced trades, and get myself Chris Chelios and Jeremy Roenick. Actually, was Roenick still with the Blackhawks in 98, or had he moved on? I don't remember.
Still there. JR was one of those guys, like, he's Captain America, right, for the U.S. hockey team for a while there. I mean, it just, yeah, he was always one of those fiery players who would get under the skin of the opposition and score goals, wasn't afraid to kind of get dirty in there and that sort of thing, and it was an all-around really good player. I don't think he ever won a cup, though, because they couldn't get by Detroit. You know, that's Chicago's problem, and I think when they got to the cup that one time, Pittsburgh handled him pretty well. And
yeah, it was so... much like the Blues, so many Blackhawks left the team during that era to go elsewhere and you know, just win, you know, get your cup. Looking at you, Brendan Shanahan.
So he played from...
He went to Phoenix.
Played for the Blackhawks from 88 to 96. So he did play in the cup in 92 when Penguins went to Phoenix, Philly, the Kings, and San Jose. 20-year career, Team USA. I don't think he ever got a cup. None of those teams pulled it up. Well... Nope. Not well. Okay, the Kings were
He always just missed it. He tried to. He went elsewhere.
Bummer. Well, no, he's still. You know, he's still always a good announcer. Well, sometimes he pull off.
I love how you're like, hey, well, kind of. Not really. What are your thoughts on anybody else on here before I talk about what other kind of cool part about this class?
Yeah. Datsyuk is somebody who I'm trying to look up his stats and remember who he played for. So let's see. He was a pain in the ass as well, wasn't he? For one of our teams.
I mean, you're a Hall of Famer for a reason, right?
Yeah. A Russian player. Okay. He played for one of the 100 greatest. He was part of the Red Wings, the Red Machine. Yeah. Won the Stanley Cup in 2002 and 2008 with the Red Wings. So, okay. So he came on, I think, after because the Wings went back to back in 97 and 98 because they beat the Caps in 98. I remember that because that was the first time we got there. But yeah, he's one of these guys who, you know, when Detroit was past kind of they were the first team to go back to back in a long time, they were the last team to go back to back in a long time. But I remember him from like the Olympics a lot and the Russian teams who, he's team captain in 2014 and 2018. The Russians couldn't break through because once they let the pros in, Canada just started dominating. But yeah, he was always, from a defensive standpoint, Datsyuk was one of these, he was like, kind of like the prototype is where we got some of these offensive defensemen, you know, like, and we've seen those so much, like Cale Makars and things like that you see now. But he was one of these guys who could play really good defense and then turn it on offense. And kind of when that was first starting to become a thing, you know, you didn't see that too much. But now these guys like you know, Chychrun for the Caps now and that sort of thing, these guys who just kind of like creep up into the offensive zone and you don't know they're there and they just hammer the puck on net. So he's the guy I remember more than the other ones. He's a hell of a player. But, you know, he's a Red Wing and I just – developed a healthy hatred. I'm sure you did too for the Detroit Red Wings for a while.
Yeah, I mean, the Detroit Red Wings, like, I always loved that my Blues had that streak for a while where they went like 20 straight seasons or something like that, making the playoffs. And it seemed like they'd always get bounced by the Red. That seemed to be where our path would end. All right, the last thing I want to talk about, and not even really all that long, but I just think it's cool. So I mentioned Natalie Darwitz and Christy Wendelpohl, both women, U.S. Olympic hockey players. This is history because it's the first time since 2010 that two women are part of the same Hockey Hall of Fame class. So, and Darwitz and Wendelpohl, they were teammates for three seasons at the University of Minnesota, 2002 to 2005. They represented the United States on the international stage. They combined for four Olympic medals, two silver, two bronze, as well as 12 world championship medals, 10 silver, 10 gold. Can't pretend like I follow and watch women's hockey with any regularity, but I do think you could, like, as the kids say, game recognizes game, and Darwitz and Wendelpohl, clearly very deserving members of the Hockey Hall of Fame. And the fact that they get to go in together as teammates and be, you know, only, you know, the first class since 2010 to have two women go into the Hockey Hall of Fame at the same time. I think that's a pretty awesome story and one worth noting. So congrats to them and congrats to all the NHL Hockey Hall of Famers. It'll be time to start gearing up to see who gets selected next year. They got a new chair. for the Hockey Hall of Fame. I can't remember. They announced that this weekend too. Their name is eluding me as I close the page. Yeah, NHL.com. I closed it. They just announced it though. I'm working on it right now. I'm efforting it. It is Mike Gartner.
Oh,
so
okay.
Yeah, Mike Gartner is succeeding Lanny McDonald as Hall of Fame chairman. So
Mike is
that's a 10-year term.
He, for a long time, until Bondra and Ovechkin came along, had the Caps record for goals. He was like the franchise for Washington. And then I think he went elsewhere, like Toronto or something, in the latter part of his career. But yeah,
he enshrined in the Hall of Fame in 2001.
He deserves it. So. He was a hell of a player. Hell of a player.
Oh. Yeah, he, you know, they did a press conference. He did this. He was part of that event on the 8th. It's a 15-year term that he was served on the Hall Selection Committee. So now he's elected as a, you know, the chairman for 10 years, as I do believe what the appointment is. So we've got him for a while. Good for him. And that's where we're going to end Hockey Talk for today. Dave, before we get out of here, tell everybody where they can find you out there on the socials and on thechairshot.com.
Yeah, you can find me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram. And
you can follow me on the X Twitter at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday here on the Chairshot Radio Network. Monday, talking nerdy stuff with Dave and a cavalcade of others. Tuesdays, talking hockey or music with one David Ungar. And Wednesdays, when we can get it scheduled, talking wrestling with Craig DeMarco.
Are you going to do a live show from Phoenix? Live?
I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. If we're going to do, I will say, I watched this week's SmackDown for the first time in a long time. And it's interesting. I can talk about it off air. But I had thoughts, and I immediately, like, anytime I watch a wrestling program, I immediately text Greg about it. So I texted Greg my thoughts. The most basic one is that Solo Sikoa ain't the guy, brother. But we're going to keep trying. Anyway, also, if you like what we do here on the Chairshot Radio Network, head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Invest in a Chairshot shirt design. Only $19.99 for a shirt. Spend a few dollars more, though. Get it soft style. It'll feel great on your giblets. Thank you, everyone, for listening. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Hockey Talk. There will be no Hockey Talk next week, as I will be in Phoenix, Arizona at the time when we normally record, doing some wrestling fun with Craig DeMarco. So 2 weeks away, we'll be back to give you all the updates on how we're feeling about our teams, about how the league's going, and you get to listen to me rant about how the Blues are trash. This has been Hockey Talk here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply.